एषा ब्राह्मी स्थिति पार्थ नैनां प्राप्य विमोहयति स्थित्वास्यामन्तकालेऽपि ब्रह्म निर्वाणम् ऋच्छति. सो दिस इज द कंक्लूडिंग वर्स ऑफ द सेकंड चैप्टर ऑफ द भगवद गीता एंड हियर कृष्णा इज टेलिंग अर्जुन दैट वन शुडंट बी एजिटेटेड हाउ वन कैन लिव इन दिस वर्ल्ड in such a way that one can be unbewildered and ultimately be liberated. So this is a conclusion to the fourth answer as well as a conclusion to the chapter. The fourth question to which it is answer is, how should one move, how does a self-realized person move about in this world? So, charati was answered, mentioned. This is how one should move about, without desires, without attachment, without ego, without proprietorship. That was what a previous verse said. And then a person can be peaceful. And this verse continues on, Esha Brahmi Sthiti Partha. Now, Esha, this Brahmi Sthiti, it is the spiritual state, Partha, oh, Arjuna. Nainam prapya vimohiyati. Once having obtained it, enam prapya, having obtained it, na vimohiyati. One will not be deluded again. And sthitva asyam. If one is situated like this, antakalepi. At the time of death, brahma nirvanam richati. One will attain brahma nirvana. One will attain the supreme liberation. So, Brahma Nirvanam. So, here Krishna, what he is essentially telling is two things. First is how to live without being deluded and how to become liberated. What is this? For both, we have to cultivate a state of consciousness. That is Brahmi Sthiti, the spiritual state of consciousness. So, Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport about how such a condition is all, one is already liberated, and going back to the kingdom of God, the spiritual world, is only a matter of time. And such a liberation can happen in one moment, or it cannot happen for many lifetimes. It's just a matter of understanding and accepting the fact. What is that understanding? Accepting that we are not the body or the soul, and we are meant to life. We lead life at the level of the soul. So, Esha Brahmi Sthiti Partha. A Brahmi Sthiti. Spiritual state. Nainam Prapya Vimuhyati. One will not be bewildered. So Arjuna has become bewildered. Although Arjuna has led a life of virtue, he has been dharmic, but still he has become bewildered. Because Kshatriyas in general follow dharma, but they don't follow is follow paradharma. They follow paradharma of dharma artha kama moksha. And they have material desires, although those material desires are framed within a dharmic context. Such material desires cannot actually free one from illusion, because they themselves are an illusion. Although eventually one will go towards moksha and ultimately go from beyond illusion, but that will take some time. Many lifetimes, in fact. So, but Krishna is telling that you can, there's an alternative way you can work, not at the level of karma kanda, but at the level of karma yoga, and or in general the level of yoga, which will culminate in bhakti yoga. So if one works like that, then Brahmi Sthiti will be situated at the spiritual level. Nainam prapya vimuhiyati. Vimuhiyati. One will not be bewildered. So, Arjuna had said, Sammoodha Chetaha. So, Moodha was the word over there, and Muhya. It is a similar word. Dhiras Tatrana Muhyati. Muhyati. So, Moodha, Muhya, Moha are all related. So, Krishna says that, Navi Muhyati. You will not become deluded. So, that means, you know, there is a state of consciousness which is attainable for us, which is beyond delusion. So, No, we all at the present stage of our life, at the present stage of our spiritual evolution, sometimes come to Krishna consciousness and sometimes go into sensory consciousness. And the way to deal with this oscillation of our consciousness is by purification. So, the purification means that we place ourselves more closer and closer to the all pure person Krishna and further away from impurities. So, Krishna is telling this by talking about acting with detachment. So, attachment is a form of impurity. When one works with detachment, then one distances oneself from that impurity. And when one fixes one's mind on the Atma itself is pure. And if one fixes one's mind on Krishna, then Krishna is supremely pure. And by steadily practicing connection with Krishna, steadily cultivating connection with Krishna, and steadily maintaining disconnection from matter or from material attachments more specifically. We can't be disconnected from matter per se because we have to live in the body and we have to live in the world. But we can minimize material attachments. Living in this way, we can actually come to a stage where we'll no longer be in illusion. Brahmi sthiti. That is the spiritual state of consciousness. So now, sthitva asyam. If one is situated like this, antakalepi, even at the time of death. Now this is the first time Krishna has referred to the time of death specifically here in the Gita. In almost all cultures of the world, especially all spiritual cultures of the world, the moment of death is considered to be very significant. A scholar of Vaishnavism, Stephen Rosen, Satyaraj Prabhu, has written a book, Death and Dying in the World Traditions. And he describes how the various world traditions, they may have widely differing specific beliefs, but they all generically consider the moment of death to be important. And not just in terms that a person should have a as much as possible peaceful death with proper emotional closure. That is okay. It is important in its own way. But even more important is that that person should have some spiritual stimuli while departing from the world. And that principle of developing spiritual stimuli is developed in the ancient spiritual culture of India in many different ways. And the most classic example of facing the antakal with profound absorption in spiritual impressions, in spiritual sound, spiritual culture, spiritual atmosphere. The most riveting example of this is Parikshit Maharaj, who had 7 days remaining and who renounced his kingdom and focused on hearing Bhagavatam on the banks of a sacred river for 7 continuous days from the great sage Shukadev. So Krishna says, Krishna doesn't elaborate the importance of Antakal because Krishna is speaking to Arjuna, and Arjuna is living in a culture that implicitly recognizes the importance of Antakal, of the last moment. And so Krishna says, just assumes the importance of Antakal over here. And then, sitva asyam antakalepi, if one is treated like this, brahma nirvanam richati. Which this person will attain what? Brahma Nirvana. Now, what exactly is Brahma Nirvana may seem a little confusing. Or at this stage, it may not be clear. Brahma is spiritual. Nirvana is the Buddhistic term used for liberation. Now, mundane commentators or historians, they try to say that because Nirvana is a Buddhist term, and because now the Bhagavad Gita is featuring a Buddhist term, so this indicated the Bhagavad Gita was written after Buddhism was propagated. Actually speaking, this is quite an outstandingly weak, tenuous leap of reasoning. The various philosophies such as nihilism, which is what Buddhism represents, or theism or atheism, they are always present. And they have certain prominent proponents at certain times in history. And so it is not that Buddhism did not exist before Buddha. That school of thought of rejecting tradition and using empiricism and inference alone to try to find out everything about life, and rejecting scripture as God, revelation of God, all that characterized the early centuries of Buddhism. But thereafter, Buddhism, became propagated widely under Buddha, but it was existing before also. And the term Brahma Nirvana in and of itself has got nothing to do with Buddhism. It simply refers to Nirvana. In Buddhism refers to a conception of nothingness. Actually, even in Buddhism, it doesn't refer to nothingness. Rather, it refers to existence at a higher level. The standard example is when a candle is switched off or is extinguished, then the candle ceases to exist. So like that, they say our consciousness will cease to exist when we attain Nirvana. But the Dalai Lama has said that even when a candle is switched off, this is the energy that made the candle flame does not go away. That continues to exist at a different, higher, invisible level. Similarly, we continue to exist. So Brahma Nirvana here doesn't have anything to do with Buddhism specifically. It simply means liberation in the spiritual reality. Brahma Nirvana. So one is extinguished or liberated from material existence, but more important than from where we are liberated, that is important, but equally if not more important is where we are liberated. So a person comes out of jail, but where does that person go after coming out of the jail? Similarly, we are liberated from material existence and then we go into Brahma. So actually Brahma Nirvana, when that is brought together, the whole concept of the Buddhist Shunya and the associated concept of Nirvana was propagated to counter the Vedic conception of Brahma and Mukti. So Brahma and Nirvana together talk about how there is not, at liberation, there is not extinction of existence, but there is elevation of existence to a higher level, to the Brahman level. And that is attained by living at the Brahman level in this life. So Brahma Sthiti will bring Brahma Nirvana. And both happen for one who lives in a mood of detachment. That is the concluding message of this chapter. Thank you.